Happy today?
Amen.
I can guarantee you I am. I've enjoyed this day so far. I apologize to those of you that were in the Bible study this morning because you're going to have to hear me again now, and then you're going to have to hear me again tonight. So we got a lot of hearing me today. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit today.
Amen.
And this is our final lesson on the Holy Spirit. And it deals, good to see you, it deals with how the Holy Spirit works today. That's what it deals with. And I start out by asking you a question, are you happy? Well, I can tell you this, that you cannot find happiness in this world without the Holy Spirit. It is impossible. The Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is in me. And all joy and happiness comes from the Holy Spirit. We cannot find it in this world without it. One of the things you need to know and understand is this. Solomon. Y'all know who Solomon was? One of the things that I always bring out with Solomon is that he was the richest man that has ever lived, including in today's standard. Most people go back and they try to calculate the wealth that Solomon had, and they sit back and they said, no matter who they were that has been since Solomon, has never had the wealth that Solomon had. Never. Now, these are people that are much smarter than I, how they figured that out. But that's what they say. So Sam Walton never had as much wealth as Solomon. None of the billionaires that we look at in today's world had the wealth that Solomon had. But remember what he said about that. He had everything that this world could give him. But his response was, in Ecclesiastes, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. What he came to the understanding and what he came to the knowledge of was that nothing in this world could match up with what God has given you. Nothing. And that's one of the reasons why I was looking so much forward to this lesson. Because this lesson today shows us what the Holy Spirit is doing for us right now. And remember also this, these words from Paul. I have learned to be what? Content. No matter what the situation is, no matter what's going on, I have learned to be content. And he gave a reason for that. He said, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And remember when he wrote that. When he wrote that, he was in prison in Rome. He was awaiting his own execution. And yet he could still say, I have found to be content. No matter what the situation is. Now, I want you to understand something, that is an understanding of what God has given us in our lifetime that oftentimes we don't see. We sit back and we say, well, you know, this person has $1 million, or this person has a bigger house, this person has a nicer car, this person has a nicer boat. This person got 2 deer this year. I didn't get any. And you sit back. Yeah, you got to go hunting before you can get one. Isn't that right? Yeah. But understand this, what the problem is that we're looking at things, as Solomon calls it, all we're looking at is vanity. We're not looking at what God has given you. God has given you an eternity with Him forever and ever in a place that there is no sorrow, there is no parting, there is no hunger, there is no death, there is only joy from the time it begins and never ends. Folks, our understanding of that is through the Holy Spirit. No one can understand that if they do not have the Holy Spirit. No one can be content in all areas of your life without the Holy Spirit. Paul says, I've known wealth, I've known hunger, I've known persecution, I've known joy, I've known happiness, I've known all these things, but regardless of the situation that I'm in, I can be content. And the only way I can be content is knowing that I can do all things through Jesus Christ. Folks, this is a very important message for us. The Holy Spirit is active today. And if you remember last week, I told you that as far as those spiritual gifts, the speaking in tongues, the prophecy, all these things are done away with. And the reason why those things are done away with is because we don't need them anymore. They were proofs that the word that was being distributed to them at the time of the New Testament was from God. We don't need that anymore. We've got all the proofs we need. So does that mean that the Holy Spirit has quit? No. On the contrary, that means the Holy Spirit is active. That means the Holy Spirit is working in us each and every day. Folks, I can find joy every day of my life because the Holy Spirit dwells in me. That's the only way you can find joy. That's the only way you can find happiness. That's the only way you can find contentment. Because those who are wealthy, all they do is seek more wealth. Sam Walton, who I mentioned just a minute ago, said it was just paper to him. Meant nothing. Folks, those things mean nothing. What means something is having God. Now, I want to start out this morning looking at John chapter 14, because John chapter 14 is indeed the message that Jesus gives to His apostles about how He is having to leave so that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter, can come to them. Now He says in verse 16 of John 14, He starts out and He says this, I will ask the Father and He will give you another Helper, so that He may be with you forever. Now, stop right there. How long is the Holy Spirit with us? Forever. Forever. The Helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He remains with you and will be in you. You know Him because He is in you. That's how you know the Holy Spirit. So in looking at this, remember the purpose. The purpose that God has for all of us. And the Holy Spirit continues with that purpose. Jesus Christ continued with that purpose. The purpose for all of us is that none of us should perish. People like to quote John 3:16. For God did what? So loved who? The world. That means every one of us. God loved us so much that He made it possible for us to be with Him. And that was through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way it could have been possible. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. But God's intent is that none of us in this room, none of us outside of this room, none of us in Poto, none of us in Oklahoma, none of us in Arkansas, none of us in Texas, God wants none of us to perish. But all of us to have everlasting life. And that is throughout the entire world. I told you about a deal last week that's going on in India and how it's at the Indian Supreme Court. And I want you to continue to pray because their Supreme Court is just like ours. They hear arguments from both sides. And then after they've heard arguments, then it usually takes a month or 2 months or 3 months before they write a decision. Pray for that decision to be on the side of God. Because what happens is if the India Supreme Court decides in favor of God, it will open the door for over 1 billion people to hear the word of God and to become a Christian. 1 billion. Pray for this. Because it's God's intent that none should perish, but all have everlasting life. Remember the jobs of the Holy Spirit that I gave you the other day. It is to convict us. And one of the things that was kind of interesting was that after I talked about this, I had several people, not just one, but several people, come up to me and tell me about their story of how they were convicted to become a Christian. And I said, that's exactly what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit opened your mind, opened your heart, so that you can become a Christian. Cornelius is a great example in the New Testament. The eunuch with Philip is another great example of how the Holy Spirit opened up their heart so that they would send for and they would get help with what this meant, so they could become a child of God. The Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit confirms us that we are indeed a child of God. And lastly, the Holy Spirit conforms us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm not like I was 20 years ago. I'm much better looking now. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to grow, helping me to learn, helping me to walk more upright as you would have me to walk. And I want you to know that that help is going to continue until the day that I see Jesus Christ face to face. I'm going to continue to grow. I'm going to continue to do better. I'm going to continue to seek to do better in all aspects of my life. The Holy Spirit helps me with that. The Holy Spirit helps you with that. Continue to grow in knowledge, in wisdom, in your walk with the Lord. the Spirit lives in us. This is an important statement for us to understand. The Holy Spirit lives in us. When do we receive the Holy Spirit? When we are baptized, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. I've had people ask me, say, well, when did you receive the Spirit? I said, the day I was baptized. Because Acts 2:38 tells me that. Then when we are baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit dwells in us. And it grows. It nourishes us. And it confirms that we are children of God. But notice what it says there in verse 17. The world cannot receive the Spirit. That's important. The world cannot receive the Spirit. Only the children of God receive the Spirit. Now this is very important for us to see. I may have told you this story. I don't know. I tell a lot of stories. I may have already told you this story, but if I have, that's okay. Just hear it again. I had a good friend. His name is Jack Alexander. I don't think he'd mind me telling this story. Jack Alexander was an elder at West Ark Church of Christ. It was College Terrace Church of Christ back when he became an elder. That tells you how far back we're going. But Jack Alexander told this story one time about when he was on an airplane. And he was flying across the country. And he said, as was my normal thing, he said, I sat down, the young lady sat beside me, and he said, I opened my Bible and began to read. Now, I'm sure he opened his Bible and began to read for a different purpose than I would have opened my Bible and began to read, because I'm afraid of flying. And I'd be opening my Bible and say, please, Lord, help me get there. Okay? Actually, I've told people before, I'm not really afraid of flying. I'm afraid of crashing. The sudden stop at the bottom kind of bothers me a little bit. But anyway, he said, as was his normal thing, he opened his Bible and began to read. And he said, the young lady that was sitting next to him looked over and said, what are you reading? He said, well, I'm reading my Bible. And she said, do you believe in that? He said, yes, I do. And she said, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in any part of it. And he said, not to the young lady, but to us, he said, how sad. If she thinks that all we've got is right here on this earth, then she's got nothing. If all we've got, as Solomon says, is whatever this earth can provide, then all we've got is vanity. We have nothing. And so realize what it says there in verse 17. The people of this world cannot receive that Spirit. And therefore, they cannot find peace. They cannot find hope. They cannot find joy, because this life doesn't give that to you. We just finished a political season. Doesn't ever seem to stop, does it? But remember what all the politicians said? Oh, we're going to change things. We're going to make things better. No, they're really not. They might try. But really, the only thing that can make things better is God Himself. And really, the only way to find contentment is through God Himself. The Holy Spirit helps us with that. And I'm telling you that no one that doesn't have the Holy Spirit can find it. Because they seek after things of this world to find joy, to find contentment, to find the happiness that they're looking for. It doesn't exist. It's only through God can we find that happiness. The Spirit teaches us the things that we need to know. And notice this, it also reminds you of the things that you have been taught. Remember the story I just told? I first heard that story probably about 30 years ago. But I still remember it. Because it touched me, it touched my heart. And the Holy Spirit reminds you of those things. There are things that I say while I'm up here speaking to you that will come back to remembrance to you. And there are times when people come up to me and say, "Do you remember when you said?" No, I may not. But they do. Because it touched them in such a way that it changed their life in some way, shape, or form. And I want you to know there are many times in your lifetime that you can say or do something that's going to cause people to change their life. There was a young man at Ramsey Junior High. I was just there 1 year. And I had him in study hall. So I really didn't teach him anything. I just sat there and made him be quiet. And this young man, he struggled with stuff. And notice how I said that. I said stuff. Because there were many things in his life that he struggled with. When he was a ninth grader, and I had already left Ramsey, I'd gone somewhere else by that time. I had already left Ramsey, but I heard that this young man received an award from the principal at Ramsey Junior High. And the award that he received was the most improved student award. He went from making F's to making A's. He went from causing trouble in class to being a model student. And he got up in the acceptance of this award. And again, I wasn't there. I had been gone for at least a year. But he got up in the acceptance of this award and he said that I had said something to him that changed his life. I have no idea what I said. None. But from that point, his life changed. People, understand this, that the Holy Spirit teaches you what is right, what is wrong. The Holy Spirit helps you to understand the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit brings back to remembrance those things that you have studied, those things that you have heard, and then molds you into the direction that God wants you to go. This is all happening today. This is happening right now. This verse in John chapter 14, I wanted you to understand this because this is what Paul said. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but as He gives." This is peace without understanding. How could the world look at Paul in his writings and say that I can be content in all things, no matter what position I'm in, when the world sees that and here's a man in prison who is awaiting his execution? The world cannot understand that peace. When we lose a loved one in our lives, especially a close loved one, a husband, a wife, a brother, a sister, a child, how can we still have peace, joy, and encouragement when that person has left this world? That is beyond the understanding of the world. But we have it because we have the knowledge of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of where that person is going. I can find joy even in the loss of a loved one. Yes, I'm going to grieve. All of us will. But you know what? There are people here today that have lost loved ones just recently. And I can tell you, they can find joy and they can find peace in knowing of the hope that comes through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us today. I've had people come up to me and say, "Well, I don't really know how to pray." Doesn't matter. Because every prayer that you give to God is perfect in the sight of God. Every prayer is perfect in the sight of God because the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit is there for us and helps us along the way in knowing good, in knowing evil. The Holy Spirit stands with us, within us, about us, and intercedes for us so that everything that we do is perfect in the sight of God. You know, I've told you before, as we stand before judgment, if we've got the Holy Spirit within us, there is no spot, there is no blemish. We are welcomed in as, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." This is important for us to see as well. That the Holy Spirit helps us to have hope. You know, I mentioned just a minute ago, we've just been through a political season and people talk about hope and all these different things. No. The real hope is in eternity with God. That's where the real hope is. And so the Holy Spirit puts us in a position where we actually wait eagerly for that day to come. Remember, I talked about when Jesus will come and there will be those that will run and hide and ask for the rocks to fall on them to hide them from the wrath of God. But there's going to be another type of person that's going to run to Jesus with our hands held high in the air and say, "Take me, Lord, I'm here, I'm waiting for you." Folks, the older you get, the more you look forward to that. Amen. I am excited about His second coming. And I'm excited about the opportunity to grab up my family as we head to an eternity with God. We wait eagerly for that hope, which again is beyond the understanding of the world. These two verses that I have up here are exactly what the Holy Spirit gives us right now. Look at these. The fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that the Holy Spirit gives us today. These are the things that the Holy Spirit helps us with right now. These are the things that dwell within us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Holy Spirit helps us with this today. And by looking at those two verses in Galatians, we've got to realize this right here, that only true joy, only true happiness, only true contentment can come from the Holy Spirit. I knew a lady. It was a teacher. She attended the Churches of Christ. Never happy. Ever. Did y'all have those teachers growing up? I had some of those teachers that you walked in the classroom and you knew immediately when you walked in the classroom that you were in trouble. Even though you hadn't done anything or said anything or anything like that, you knew you were in trouble. And it always happened with me that I happened to be English teachers. Now, I don't know if any English teachers are out here, but that was my worst subject. So I was always afraid of the English teacher. And I tell you, my senior English teacher was wonderful. But I'd walk in those classes and I was already scared. And this one teacher that I know, I worked with her. She never smiled. She always had this, "I'm going to get you" look about you. And me, as one of her colleagues who was a teacher at the time as well, was afraid of her. Folks, if you walk around all day long, every day, with a sour look on your face, I worry about you. I've had people come to me and say, "You just smile all the time, don't you?" I said, "Yeah, I sure do." I remember when my mother died, people kept coming up to me all the time and saying to me the same thing: "Your mother's smile was so wonderful." She could smile. She had a rough life, but she could smile because the Holy Spirit dwelt in her. Folks, only true happiness comes from the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that in today's world, right now, this moment, the Holy Spirit is helping you. The Holy Spirit is helping you walk with God. The Holy Spirit is teaching you. He's confirming you. He's guiding you. And He gives you happiness beyond understanding. I thank God for Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Today, if you have not been baptized, then you have not received the Holy Spirit. You need to get that taken care of. We can take care of that right now. Because your happiness on this earth and your eternal joy depends on you dwelling with the Holy Spirit. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?